Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
And we're back with another episode of Lending Forward. I am your host today, Hannah McManus, and I'm joined with one of my favorite people, Miss Candace Perry with AB Insurance. Hey, Candace.
Hey, Hannah.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well this fine Monday.
Well, I appreciate you coming on because insurance in a whole has just, it's a wild ride right now. It's been crazy. I mean, insurance has gone up. We've got carriers falling out on the wayside. And I wanted to get you on to talk to our listeners about what's going on, why is it happening, and how can we better prep and serve our buyers. So let's go ahead and dig in with the why. So talk to me a little bit about what is going on in the insurance industry?
It's been kind of crazy. Really, I guess when it all comes down to the why, it's really like the carriers are losing a ton of money. I would say from 2022 to 2023, and then even a more recent report, like it's something like in the $30+ billion that they're putting out as far as underwriting. Cases, so claims, right? So with inflation, obviously everything got more expensive, material, labor, there were shipping issues. So that causes the prices to go up. So obviously with people still spending money, you're still building houses, particularly after COVID, you know, they saw where, okay, we're having to pay these claims out. Houses are way more expensive now. I mean, a home that I might have quoted 2 years ago is maybe $100,000, $150,000 more to rebuild now. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're dealing with because, you know, the inflation happened so quickly that they really couldn't keep up with it overall. So now they're having to charge higher rates so they can get sort of a return on what they're spending.
So they've got to recoup all the money that they lost during, well, inflation, I guess. Now, we are just coming off of a hurricane, too. The East Coast, at least, we just had a little hurricane. I think there's another one right behind it. I mean, how does natural disasters kind of fall into, you know, just the increase in insurance premiums that we're seeing?
There are definitely, we're starting to see more of those natural disasters happen, more storms coming through. You're also seeing natural disasters in places where, you know, like Texas getting huge snowstorms and like being, you know, homes like losing energy, like frozen pipes having damage from that, where that wasn't something that you really heard of in the past. And now those are things that are happening. Here in Virginia Beach, like a tornado going through and completely destroying like something like 10 houses pretty much. So with that, the carriers are having to look at, okay, how frequently are these storms happening? What locations are we seeing in these storms? So particularly like in Hampton Roads, we saw where carriers were putting certain restrictions in place. North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, those are also three very big states as far as those storm, the storm prone areas. Florida is Florida. That's a given. They're like, hey, it's Tuesday sort of thing. But North Carolina in particular, I feel that was when we really started seeing the major changes start to happen with carriers where they're either saying, hey, we are not going to write coverage in these particular areas or these particular zip codes, or we're like Progressive, for instance, hey, we're not going to take any roofs over 4 years old. And for the entire state, doesn't matter the location of North Carolina, for the entire state. Virginia, they did the same thing, but they limited it to basically Hampton Roads and a couple other areas.
So can carriers just kind of change the rules Are underwriting guidelines just, whenever they feel like it?
Underwriting guidelines, they can. I know with the rates in particular, they have to go through the states. And I feel like, there was a big thing, especially in North Carolina, where there were carriers saying, hey, we want to increase by 50, 60%, something outrageous. And the state commissions are saying, you can't do that. No. So I feel like, not being able to get the percentage increase that they did want, they had to work, do something else to limit the business that they were getting. So the underwriting guidelines, yeah, that was how they did it essentially.
So they just got really tight on their underwriting guidelines. Now, I'm also, and I just hear this. Thankfully, I still have homeowners insurance today, but and car insurance.
Yes.
But I'm hearing about a lot of carriers just pulling out. I mean, they were, I hear from our mortgage bankers, our clients will get an email and it's just like, you no longer have insurance. And it's like, what? What's going on?
And that all kind of goes back to the underwriting
Okay.
guidelines where if you're so Virginia specifically, there are certain carriers like nationwide essentially kind of shut down like nationwide, pretty much.
No pun
No
intended.
pun intended. But yeah, so as far as new business, what they did was say, hey, we're going to require all of this paperwork that's basically impossible for your client to supply because they're buying a new house, like they're buying this house new. They're not going to have certain evidence of proof. So when we saw that, like, okay, so you basically don't want new business. Or there's some where they just say, yeah, we're not writing in this state. They're just very upfront about it. With non-renewals, where it's like, hey, when the policy was written, the underwriting guidelines, you met everything. But now, as they're adjusting it, they're starting to do inspections more strictly now, following a schedule like, oh, hey, you're coming up on renewal. We're going to inspect the house. Now we have an underwriting guideline where now we care about tree overhang over the house. So if you don't cut that tree down, we're going to cancel your policy. Or actually, we're not writing business or supporting business in this particular zip code anymore. So now we're going to non-renew your policy and you have to find something else.
That's wild. So, talk to me about the benefits of using an independent brokerage agency versus, I guess, going directly to the carrier, because I've heard you just shouted out like five to six different carriers, but you all have, more than six carriers. So is there, I'm assuming the benefit is to go somewhere who can, hop around carriers. But talk to me about what is a full service brokerage and what are the benefits in using one?
So with AB Insurance in particular, being full service, we have in-house customer service, we have in-house claims advocacy, and we have about 20 to 30 different carriers that we work with. So that doesn't necessarily mean all 20 to 30 carriers will be available to everyone, but we have a little bit of something for every situation. And that's the benefit is having an agent who can shop the market essentially to see what rates look like. Or, hey, maybe you have certain underwriting things, like there's always the normals as far as like dog breeds, or maybe your claims history isn't great on the home insurance. We know that we have to look at certain carriers in order to meet those guidelines, never mind the new ones that they might have put in place. So that kind of it really takes a lot of work off the client because they're not having to make those 15, different phone calls to different carriers to find something. Also, in the long run, say that they are a client and they do have a claim situation, having AB Insurance in particular with the claims advocacy, they can call and get a pre-claims consultation. Because what most people don't realize, and this is something that we're also starting to see more with the non-renewal aspect, is if you have claims history, like they're looking at not just the client themselves, they're looking at the home itself. So it used to be where they might ignore, hey, like there is a water claim that was filed 2, 3 years ago by the seller. There was a time where a lot of carriers might ignore it unless it was over a certain dollar amount. Now they're requiring a plumbing inspection report separate from the buyer's inspection so they can confirm that there's no existing damage, or they'll just flat out deny coverage up, altogether. So that's a new thing that we're running into. But with the claims advocacy, if you call them instead of calling the carrier directly, it could be, hey, like, I just want to confirm what my deductible is, or hey, would my policy even cover this? What people don't realize, as I was saying, is when they call the carriers directly, they'll close it out as a $0 payout, and it actually still stays in your claims history. So now we're in a situation where carriers are looking at claims differently compared to how they did even 2 years ago, and they could potentially be denied for that $0 payout. Whereas with us, we're not going to contact the carrier until, we know, hey, like, you do need to file a claim.
Oh, wow. So we just went through a lot of negativity. And I always like to put a positive spin on it. I know there's a positive spin. I know we've got to be coming out of this at some point, and I hope I don't, jinx us, but I mean, is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Is it getting better? Have we seen any positive upticks later or as of late?
Yeah, there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. We're starting to see some improvement in rates. It used to be where we just get nothing but emails. If you got an email, sometimes you don't even know the rates are going up. You just go in the quote and it's like, oh, that's about $80 more per month than I originally saw. But now, like, we are starting to see those emails where, like, hey, we're doing a rate decrease on the auto insurance in Virginia or North Carolina. Like, we've seen those from a couple of different companies. I mentioned Progressive earlier, where 2 years ago, at this point, they had the roof age restriction where they would only take 4 years. Now they updated it earlier this year, where they'll take, actually, just a couple of months ago, 10 years they'll take for a roof, and that's nationwide. So that's definitely, really, really great, because they can be a solid option, especially in some of those coastal areas. We're starting to see where, really, honestly, like, last year, a lot of the companies made a lot more money than they anticipated looking at the previous year. So that's why we're starting to see those adjustments. They may also be altering, like, deductibles that they'll accept to provide cover. So maybe they, require a little bit higher, which these days, with the cost of rebuilds, it just makes sense to have a higher deductible anyway. So those are things where it's like we have a little bit more to work with than we might have had a year ago. So those are definitely things to hang on to, and try to stay positive and just like, okay, this is what we have. The good thing, as far as like our agency too, we're working to, partner with more carriers, so we do have more options. Because, I mean, there's just so many different scenarios that you run into that not all carriers will fit that. So it's definitely good to have those options too.
And so, we're all of us in the mortgage side, we're not used, I mean, we are used to, environments like this. We've had high interest rates, we've had low inventory, we've had affordability issues, but we always try to, set our buyers up for success. So what can we do from our side to help guide our buyers through the, I'm going to call it insurance shock, but through that shock of, oh my gosh, this is what my homeowner's insurance looks like. How can we help kind of set that expectation properly versus, what we possibly quoted 2 years ago?
Definitely increase that estimate. Yeah, there was a time where, I guess, even maybe 2 years ago, you could have maybe gotten away with estimating $100 a month for the home insurance, depending. Like, there's somewhere, they're looking at different factors, so they're kind of guessing maybe it's going to be a bit more. Definitely now, I mean, it's hard to find something much less than $1,500 to $1,600 for the year for even, the most shiny, beautiful client that has everything, perfectly lined up. And that's, sometimes it comes down to the location of the home, the claims history, those sorts of things. So definitely increase that, the HOI estimate for sure. And then just, make sure that, especially if they're first-time home buyers, that they're not just going for the rate. I mean, I know with these days, people are super price conscious, but it's very, very important to make sure that your clients are getting the education behind the home insurance, because there is a need for it. Hopefully you never have to use your home insurance, but if you do and you just went by the dollar, you could be, out of pocket a lot more than the couple $100 it saved you to go with that cheaper policy, because you didn't get certain coverages on your home insurance that really would have saved you thousands and thousands of dollars. So definitely, making sure that they're getting a fair process as far as finding the home insurance, and communicating, hey, this is kind of where we need to stay to make the numbers work. If the client understands that, it makes it for an easier conversation with us as the agents, because we can say, hey, we understand, obviously, it's important to get the house. Maybe this is what we need to do, to get the house, to get to closing, and make sure they understand, you can make changes to the policy, after closing and whatnot. You pay the difference, but this is, making sure, hey, this is a standard that we recommend, sort of thing. But just making sure that they're getting their fair shot at finding the policy that works for them too.
What is the process to get a quote with ABI?
As far like starting from very step one.
Well, like if I was sending my buyer to you all, I mean, what does that look like? Is there an educational piece in there?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of times, I always like to ask, like, hey, is this your first home purchase? To kind of gauge what the conversation is going to be. A lot of times it's first-time home buyers. So I always like to reassure, like, hey, I understand this can be an overwhelming process, but I want to make sure that you understand everything as far as your coverages are concerned. The key thing is making sure, like, all the information, all that underwriting information upfront, we have it as accurate as possible to make sure we are getting the right rates, because the last thing you want is those rates to change on the back end and they shoot up $500 for the year. And it's like, okay, now we can't get to closing because there was something we didn't know on the front end when we were doing those quotes. As far as, the process of discussing the quotes, we send a proposal so the clients can see the name of the coverage, the amount of coverage. We go line by line explaining, hey, this is what it means for you. Try and keep it as simple as possible, even, from, hey, this is your dwelling coverage. This is what this means. This is where we get the number, because a lot of times it's not the same as that purchase price. So making sure they understand that. Some common claims that we see as an agency, especially, that's how we've built the standard as far as what coverages we offer. And always, I like to take a break at a certain point, just, one second, take a breath, but then also just to give them time, because it's a lot to process. And I'll ask, like, hey, how does everything sound now? Do you have any questions? Making sure that they know they can ask questions. I feel like a lot of times it just gives them peace of mind. They don't, and giving them time too. It's great if you can settle everything on that phone call going over stuff, but it is a huge deal. So if they're like, hey, can I take a day or two? Absolutely. Like, I want you to feel good about, this decision. And, we can make changes if necessary. I'm always available for questions. But that's kind of our overall process. We just kind of like to guide them through it, let them feel free to make changes. Maybe, they're cool with higher deductibles, or maybe they know they want to keep it at the minimum, to avoid anything, a couple years down the road where it's a lot more they have to pay out because of that higher deductible sort of thing. But that's like our biggest thing, is just making sure that they do feel educated, they feel like they understand it, and they would feel good in a situation if they did have a claim, hopefully not, but if they did, they knew who to call and they felt good about the process.
Have you noticed, or Is the quoting process, because now that the carriers are like asking for more and they have to do more homework, and are you seeing that it's taking longer to get clients into a policy? I mean, as lenders or real estate agents listening, should we be setting some sort of cadence up front where, hey, it's going to take longer, or hey, you should do this earlier in the process, or like, have you seen any differences there? Or not really.
It can sometimes take longer to do quotes, depending on certain situations. A lot of times it'll come down to underwriting. So the sooner that the loan officer can send either, the quote submission or the quote request our way, or have the client reach out, the better. And that really is because, we might run into something where, unbeknownst to the mortgage banker and us, they had renter's insurance where they filed two or three claims, and now we have to submit for approval. And these carriers, just because, people are still filing claims, there's obviously people still writing business, their underwriters are, sort of backlogged. So it might take up to a week before we get a response. So that's definitely something we've been running into. I would say more, especially over the past 6 to 8 months. Sometimes where, if we're looking at very specific things, as far as underwriting guidelines, and we're having to quote, a number of different carriers, or, we have a great system where we can just put all the info in and it shoots out, the bulk of like the big carriers that most people have heard of. But there's some where, we have to go in manually. So it does take a little bit more time because we're having to enter all that information. But that for us, that's just part of the process. That's part of the job. But those underwriting things, they could take the quote itself a little bit longer. Brand new addresses. I actually had one I was working earlier this morning where I had to submit for a flood zone determination because the address is so new, like none of the systems are recognizing it. So that's something too, where it's like, hey, if it's brand new construction, this might not even register, even, for a home insurance quote. I had a couple where they couldn't even pick it up to do anything.
Okay. Well, there's also, I'm shifting a little bit because there's been some changes, some regulation changes around condo policies. And so I know I'm not super educated on condo policies, and I'm guessing some of the listeners aren't either. So do you mind explaining what a condo policy is and kind of the differences between homeowners insurance and condo owners insurance?
Yeah, absolutely. So your standard homeowners policy, it's going to cover the interior and exterior of the home as far as reconstruction is concerned. So you, as the homeowner, if you have damage to, say, tree falls on your roof, your home insurance policy is going to take care of the repair or replacement of the roof or anything exterior. With a condo owner's policy, so they're part of an association. The condo association will have their own master policy. So that means if they have to file a claim, they would use that policy. If it's for the exterior, so the condo owner's policy only covers the interior of the building. So you see some where it might be kind of weird. They might be a townhome, but they're considered a condo or vice versa. Not like your standard like condo unit, but that policy for the insured covers the interior replacement of the structure itself. So in that same scenario where maybe they have a condo townhome and there's damage to their roof, the association would take care of that exterior. But any damage that happens inside the home, the condo owner would have their insurance policy would take care of that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I really do appreciate all of this. I mean, being a homeowner myself, insurance wasn't something I was super interested in. But it definitely has been, really eye-opening just talking to you, understanding the why, and It makes sense that, all of the rebuild costs and all of the things of, that go along with that would cause, such a increase in rate. So thank you for taking the time to explain all of that to us. I hope everybody on the call starts quoting their buyers a little bit higher, maybe taking a look at what you are quoting, reach out to your local insurance partner for some assistance. But I can't let you go, Candace, without asking you our favorite question here, and that is, how do you plan on lending it forward the remainder of the year?
I plan to focus on the things that I can control in my life personally and professionally. I feel like, especially when there's a lot of change involved, it can be frustrating. And if, sometimes you can get stuck on like what others are doing or not doing and like what's expected of you. So I feel like when I really kind of reel it in and just focus on, okay, this is what I can do. I can make my to-do list. I can do this. I know, like, if I make those phone calls, I send the emails, those all, contribute to my success, and I can't control what others are doing. So I feel like I give my best self when I do focus on that. And I try to give that advice to others too, as far as like lending it for just, okay, take a breath, focus on what you can do, don't worry about the other stuff.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Candace. I really do appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.